your prayers this evening, like the Lord wants to bless us tonight. We know the devil don't want him to, but we're glad that he's a conquered foe. Learn not to go by what we feel, what we see, but we know God's a faithful God. He's faithful to do his part, faithful to back his word. So we look to him tonight and desire we would pray earnestly the Lord would bless our thoughts this evening, that we can be a blessing. His word will be a blessing to our heart. Some thoughts I've had today that started out a long time ago, living for the Lord. Desired to go to heaven, desired to make a safe landing over on the other side. I remember, I've told this a lot of time maybe before, but I remember after I was saved for a while, the Lord called me a couple of years, the Lord called me in ministry. And I really didn't know what the Lord was. I know the Lord had called me to preach, and I was preaching a little bit, but I didn't know what the Lord wanted for. Sought the Lord for leadings, guidance, directions. And Lord, especially back in those days when I first started living for God, Lord dealt with me so plain and so clear. I guess he knew he'd have to just show me real clear, hard to comprehend, get a hold of things. But the Lord showed me, and I've told this and wrote about it, but he showed me a garden in a dream or whatever it was. Showed me a garden. I went up on the mountain there, and I remember crawling back into a hole like through a opening, come out over on the other side, and there was a beautiful garden there, most beautiful garden I ever saw, vegetable garden what it was, I guess. And it was just all way up there growing, everything was so pretty and green. And as I looked upon that scene, I had been praying and seeking the Lord to know what the Lord's will was for me, and needed some directions in what to do. And while I was standing there looking upon this garden, the Lord pointed out to me a row there, one row. And he told me, he says, that row right there, that's your row right there. You just take care of that row. You hold that row right there and keep it in good shape. And you don't have to worry about all the rest of the garden here. You don't have to worry about that. You just take care of that one row. That's all you have to do. And I've been trying to do that over a number of years now. But I was thinking today that I want to finish that thing out. I want to finish that row out. I want to, garden like that, there's a harvest time. You know, you plant a garden, you plant the seed, you fix the soil, and you plant the seed and put the fertilizer or whatever goes on it. Well, you have an anticipating. You're anticipating something. You don't just plant those seeds out there and forget about it. Someday you're expecting to go out there one morning and And you're expecting to see them come up, coming out of the ground. And then you spray them and whatever you have to do and dig about them and work with them and they grow and get out there. And still you're expecting something, looking. You're doing all that. Ain't got a thing out of it yet, very little anyway. But you're anticipating something or another. And that keeps you going. That keeps you going on. It keeps you going on. Working at your garden. Digging around. Putting water on. Spraying. Fertilizing. All that kind of stuff. Because there's something, you're expecting to get something out of that. You're expecting for it to produce. You're expecting that vegetable or whatever it is to come on there, and one of these days you're going to eat that stuff. You're going to enjoy it. You're going out there and pick off a big old ripe tomato or a good mess of green beans or whatever you like to grow. One day you're going out there and gather that in and bring it in, and you're going to have something good to eat. And I was thinking today then that I remember that garden and thought about it, and that's been years ago. That garden, well, it wasn't in yet. It hadn't come in yet. The great foliage was green and tall, but there was nothing on it. Nothing on it. And it came to me today that I'm going to have to finish that. I'm going to have to finish that hole in that row all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Then when I get out to the end of the row, then get it all taken care of, then I'm going to start enjoying the fruits of my labor. I'm going to start enjoying it. And I was thinking today now, I'm going to have to finish that row. I'm going to have to finish it up. I started it a long time ago, hoeing my row, keeping the weeds out, and one of these days, soon, I don't know, sooner or later, I just came to me so clear that you're not to the end yet. And I was wondering, Lord, why ain't there no fruit on that garden? Well, you haven't got out to the end yet. You haven't got to the end yet. When I get out to the end of that row, then I'm going to start really reaping what I've been working at all the time. I know we have blessings here, but tonight the blessings and the crown, the reward, is at the end of the way. That's where it's at. That's where the real. We have our little, like I said, our little blessings here. We get our joy. We get our victories from time to time, but we also have a lot of pain here, don't we? We also have a lot of sorrow here. We have a lot of disappointments here, too. And we have to go through a lot of things here in this world. But I've just been on my mind today how important it is that we finish this thing up. We finish this thing up and get down there to the end, and then going to start enjoying those fruits of our labor in eternity. Never will run out. No more heartaches, no more pain, no more troubles, no more disappointments. Going to live with the Lord forever in eternity with Jesus and all the saints that have gone on before. I'll tell you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So I'm working real hard to keep the weeds out. Keep the weeds out of that row. He gave me that row to hoe about 30-some years ago, and he told me to just take care of that row. I can see now more than ever the necessity of keeping all the weeds out, and keeping fertilizing it, keeping them spraying it, keeping the bugs off, keeping the weeds all out. And see that I get down there where I'm really going to start enjoying the fruit of that and live in eternity and eat off in that one row, that one roll will produce enough blessings and fruit to live on in eternity where there's no end to it. May the Lord help us tonight. We're going to have to finish if we're going to make heaven our home. We're going, it's one thing to start, and it's another thing to finish. We've got to finish this thing up. Us that have started, we must go on. We must go on. Used to sing an old song, I can't help what others do, but we must go on. I must go on. I can't help what Satan does or what Satan says. I got to go on anyway. We have to go on. And so I was thinking then how many have started and fallen by the wayside, fallen by the wayside, and failed to make it on into the other end. I thought of so many that I've seen over the years that made a start with God. And where are they at tonight? Many of them have gone far, far, far away from God. Had a beautiful start with the Lord. Made a beautiful start with the Lord. Enjoyed the blessing of salvation. Testified and determined, and I'm going to live for God. I'm going to go all the way with the Lord. But by and by, they fall by the wayside. May the Lord help us tonight. I want to read a familiar scripture here, 18th chapter of Jeremiah. It said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. I thought how about marring in his hand. Marred in his hand. Thinking how the Lord, so many people down through the history of time, that God had great anticipations for their lives. That God had something in mind for that person that started out, but they marred in his hand. Marred in his hand. And there's a scripture back there in the 13th chapter of Jeremiah there, about the 7th verse. Said, then we'll not read the verse there, just get a thought. Then he went to, the Lord had told here about to go there and take a girdle and take it out there and bury it and so forth and so on. But just to get a thought out of this, and he'd taken this girdle and went out there and buried it in the ground, and so he went and hid it by the Euphrates, and the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I command thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. It was profitable for nothing. I thought of people that have started out to live for God. And God looked on that soul, and God had such anticipation. There's somebody that will serve me. There's somebody that will serve me. There's somebody that I can depend on. And they start out and they go for a while. But after a while, they marred in his hand. Marred in his hand. And all of his plans that he had for that individual, I thought about one place the Bible says that salvation is of the Jews, he said. Salvation is of the Jews. God had a plan for many, many years. He prepared a people, a nation of people. He worked with them and he prepared them one day for when Christ was going to come to the world, that he was going to go, and he had a people prepared to take this, what Christ was going to bring to the world, and going to spread it all over the world. That's what he had in mind to do, was to use the Jewish people to spread the gospel all over the world. That's what he had in mind. That's what he'd worked for 4,000 years. He had worked up a plan to where all men could hear the gospel and all men would have a call from God. But the Jews, the Bible says, when Christ came, that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. They marred in his hand. All that work he'd done, all those plans that he had, all that effort that he had put forth to prepare a people to when Christ would come, that they could take this thing and go on with it and carry it to the world. But they marred in his hands. They marred. And all that he would have been able to accomplish, marred, he failed, they failed. I believe the Bible said one place that they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God from what he had in mind to do. Those people that didn't go on and be prepared to come when he came, some of them were, some of them received him. Some of them were expecting him. Some of them was already prepared for him to come and going to receive him and take it on from there. But think of it. Multitudes marred in his hand. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. Kept him from being able to accomplish what he had in mind. And it seemed like that's been the history down through the ages, that God would raise up a people, and God would raise up a prophet. God would raise up a movement of people. And he had great anticipation for them. And he would work with them, and he'd provide everything. God provided everything that man would need. Before Jesus ever come, he prepared everything ahead of time. Jesus was to come. He was to show us the way. He was to reveal God to us. He was to leave his word here with us. He was going to send. He sent the Holy Spirit back unto us. He had prepared everything that would enable us to carry out what God had in mind to do. God made provisions for whatever that man would need in this life. Whatever grace he supplied, all the grace and all the power and all the wisdom and all the need, made everything available and got it all fixed up and passed it on out. And he found the people that marred in his hands. Marred in his hands. And he wasn't able to carry out what he had in mind to do. And he was limited. How much he could do. Do you know that you and I can limit God tonight? Don't you and I know that we can hinder the work of God? You say, well, we are nothing. I don't mean anything in God's eyes. God has a plan for every individual that comes into this world. I believe everybody that's born in this world, that God has a plan for that person somewhere or another. He sends an angel, and God watches all the time. Everybody's got an angel that's watching. God had a plan. When you came into this world, God had a plan for your life. He already had a plan set up there. But think about it tonight. The multitude of people down through the history of time. It staggers. I just thinking about the congregation here. Just think how many has marred in his hand down over the years. Started out here in this altar here. Started out for God. God blessed them. God saved them. God provided for them. God done everything for them. Had great anticipation for them. Many of them are out on the barren mountain sin tonight. Have marred in the hands of God. Wonder how many of them might have been a preacher if they'd all stayed saved. Probably a bunch, maybe a number of them. I wonder how many of them would have been a missionary for God. Oh, I suspect probably quite a few of them, some of them would have been. I wonder how many of them would have brought up their children to serve the Lord. I wonder how many of that would have happened. You think about how many that is marred in God's hand. Just what we know. That ain't talking about the millions that we don't even know. But just what we know that has marred in the hands of God. That he had plans for their life. He had plans to use them in his service. He had plans for them to place them in a position somewhere in the world where they could live and where they could glorify his name and where he could use them in some capacity to carry out his plan for the universe, for the world that we live in today. But you just think of those that have come right through this congregation and gone out far away from God. Think about those who have died and not ready to meet God, marred in the hands of God. My. So sad. Such a tragedy. Talking to somebody the other day about the movement of people back there, and we've heard about this a lot over our lives, gospel trumpet people, them people, or the church, I'll say the body of people 100 years ago. So, you know, the church at that time was going all over the world. There was congregations being established all over the world. Church of God everywhere. It's about over foreign lands, and God was working, and he was healing, and the gospel was going forth, and missionaries were moving out for God, and the word of the Lord was spreading all over the land. But somebody marred in his hand. Think of the millions of souls that might have been saved. Think of the millions of souls that never got saved because somebody marred in God's hand. Somebody failed to remain true to God. Somebody failed to continue on living for the Lord. Somebody went alone for a while and then quit and gave up. I've seen it myself over the years. People start out for God. Maybe get marriage. I've seen this happen right among the saints. Young people pray. Seek the Lord. And that's what they should do for us, for a companion. Say, I want a saved companion, they say. Well, that's good. That's the way it ought to be. In God, I've seen God save people just so he could give somebody a companion he's praying for. Work wonders. And God would go to the effort to answer the prayers and save and give somebody a good saved companion. Good young man, young sister, a young brother. You know what God dealt with that boy's heart. He dealt with that girl's heart. And somehow or another he brought them together. And he caused them to realize that they were for one another. And now they went on. And they got married. Oh, the Lord. The Lord had something. He was anticipating something. Here now, the Lord might have said, now here is a home where I can be first in that home. Now here is a home that's going to be built where my name will be glorified. Here is a couple of people that's going to serve me, and they're going to bring up children to serve me. Oh, the Lord, I can just see the Lord at the wedding rejoicing. You know. My, here's a fine young man and woman that's gotten saved and they're living for me, and now they've gotten married and they're starting out a home. And they're going to have some children and they're going to be a family altar in that place. And my name's going to be glorified. And those children are going to grow up around the family altar. And they're going to get up there and serve me. And then their grandchildren will serve me. But oh, I've seen so many of that happen. Started out on a good something or another. But somebody marred in his hand. And broke up God's plan. Broke up God's plan. I've seen it happen. One of them mars in his hand. Then I see it go on for a while. Many times, a lot of times, the other one will mar in his hands too. And they'll go out. There's some out here now, round town here in that condition. They've marred in his hand. And they're raising their children outside of the church. They're raising their children away from God. I've seen it happen time and time again that people start out for the Lord and live for God and then fail to continue on and mar in his hand and then go out in the world and raise their children in sin, away from the church. And those poor children grow up. And it's amazing to me how one generation can get so far away from God. But they marred that husband and wife, that man, who should have been a man enough to take stand in there in his family and take the oversight of that family and guide that family and be a husband to his wife. That wife who should have been willing to take her place by the side of her husband and stand with him and support him and be a blessing to him and stand together and raise a family of children that would know about God. Oh, but they marred in his hand. And now, these people, some of them, and the Lord bless, I'm glad the Lord's merciful tonight. But then they'll go on and they'll do that and they'll live that way. And then, later on in life, they get up there 50 years old, 40 years old, and now they see that they made a bad mistake. They've marred in the hands of God. They didn't have enough fortitude or gumption or just plain old guts, I guess, to stand for the Lord. But went on. And now, I'm 45 years old. I'm 50 years old. And now I realize I need to be saved. And sometimes they come back. God is merciful. God's merciful. He said he thought it good to build it again, make it again. But the thing about it is, you've already lost your children. Your children's already gone in the world. They already raised up out there now. Far, far, far away from God. Got out there and gotten bad marriages, and adulterous marriages, and they got in jail. They got in debt. I know some, but hearts are so aching right now. Mothers' hearts are weeping. Pray for my son. He's in prison. Pray for my daughter. She's on dope. Pray for my children. But the thing about it is, it went away back down the road. When they mired in the hands of God, that's where they got in trouble. That's where they got their children in trouble. Oh, it just provokes me to see how folks are so quick to just tear up a family. Tear up a bunch of children's lives. So selfish. We're living in such a selfish age. People are so selfish. I heard somebody talking maybe on the radio last night or something or other that they was talking about women, so much divorces and things. And they said, well, women today, they're not like the old-time women. They're not willing. They're talking about the world, I'm sure. But what goes on in the world has a tendency to affect us a lot of times. Oh, I said, well, they're not willing to get in there and be the mother that the women used to be. I want to do what I want to do. I'm not going to be tied down to a bunch of children. I'm going to want my career. I want to do what I want to do. That's the age we're living in today. That's the spirit that's prevailing in the world today. I'm going to do what I want. I've not got no time to fool around little snotty-nosed bunch of children. Send them off somewhere or another. I'm going to go on and get me a job and put them in a nursery or somewhere or another. Or leave them. Talk about this year. Single parent families now. 3.5 million of them or something in the world. I know sometimes that can't be helped, but most of the time it can. Most of the time it can. And I just heard the other day the statistic where there's no father in the home, where the statistics are great, children go away. 85% of children on dope today or without fathers in their homes. 70% of those divorced children that are, divorced and so forth comes from a fatherless home. God knew what he was doing when he set this thing all up. And when we go against God's way and we go against God's plan and we decide somewhere along the way, I don't want to live this way no more. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to get myself in a lot of trouble. And I'm going to get a lot of other folks in trouble too. I'm going to affect some children too. And I'm going to affect a whole generation of children, maybe, if the world goes on. Your children will have more children. Their children will have more children. And maybe go all the way back down the road somewhere or another where somebody marred in his hand. Oh, we must continue on, folks, tonight. Saints tonight that are here, we must continue on. We cannot afford to mar in the hands of God. Even as a people, as a church, as a congregation or whatever, we can't afford to mar in God's hand. Must continue on. Must stand for the truth. Must stand for the right. Must keep pressing. Must keep fighting. Must keep going on. Because people have marred in the hands of God all down through the history of time. Churches, movements of people, individuals, and I'm more thinking about individuals tonight myself, marring in the hands of God. That little beautiful thing that God had in mind, he wasn't able to count. I thought about ministry. God calls people into ministry. God has great anticipation. When he calls, he sees some young man or lady he can use in his service. Oh, how down through the history of time they marred in the hands of God. Somebody preached for years. Get down close to the end of the way. And mar in the hands of God. What a reproach. What a sad thing. Oh, let us be faithful tonight. I thought about sometimes God calls us to suffer. Calls us to suffer. How many has marred in the hands of God? God puts you in a test, or put us in a test. God had something he was trying to accomplish. God had something he wanted to do. What did the scripture say? Blessed be the God of all comfort, who comforteth those who are in any trouble, that we might be able to comfort those with the same comfort where we've been comforted with. But it's only effectual in enduring the self-same thing. Only faithful. God chose me. He chose you. Maybe sometimes to suffer something or go through a hard trial. He had a plan. He wanted to use me or you, somebody, to show that there are still a people in the world that trust his God. Trust his God. He wanted to still show his power by healing somebody who, you know, there was a man born blind one time. Little baby was born blind. Who committed sin, they asked? Was it his father or mother or him? What happened caused this child to be blind all these years? God said it wasn't nobody's sin, but I might be able to be glorified in that day. Might be able to be glorified. Man grew up, became a man. God had an opportunity to open his eyes, glorify his name. He had a plan for that man. And I'm glad he didn't mar in his hands. Oh, I'm so glad for those that have stood the test. Thank God for those who've been faithful down through the years. Thank God for them. I'm glad they're not all marred in his hand, praise the Lord. But for those who have fought the fight, and those who battled the battles, those who have endured the hard things, those that are willing to deny themselves, those that are willing to take up their cross and go with God, Face the old world. Face the pride of life. Face the things of this old life. Be willing to face it and stand for God right in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Right in this old world you and I live in today. God calling and God seeking for somebody who he can depend on. Somebody who will not bar in his hand. Boy, the old song we used to hear saying, I counted on Adam, counted on Cain, counted on Jonah. He was the same. Boy, counted on Judah. What else? I don't remember. He proved untrue. Oh, go tell the world, Paul. I'm accounting on you. I'm accounting on you. God would like to have some people today. He has some, thank the Lord. We'd like to have some more. God would like to find some people who he could count on, who he could depend on, who will live for him through thick or through thin, through trials, through tests, through persecution, through opposition, through disappointments, through all trials and tests. Counted on, never marred in his head. May the Lord help us tonight. I just think how many times, millions of times, that God has been disappointed in people. That's just my own surmising thinking. But I know the Lord. The Lord wouldn't go to all that effort to do something another and then see it mar in his hands. Well, I guess the whole thing in the beginning marred in his hands, didn't it? He created man and put him in a garden to walk with him and commune with him. And he marred even then. Adam and Eve, or Eve, verse 1, marred in his hands. He had a wonderful place for them to live there. He had great things planned for them. They're going to live in paradise. But they marred in his hand. Interrupted God's plan in their lives. He had to go to a lot of effort to make all this over. Make a whole new thing. Make a whole new plan. For God. For the people. Because they've marred in his hand. The Lord bless us tonight. So many, like I said, have marred in the hands of the Lord. It's grievous. It's grievous. That's one of the hardest things that I've had to face in my ministry. One of the hardest things I've had to face is to work with the people and preach to a people and teach a people and sacrifice your life for them and to see them mar in the hands of God. To see them mar in the hands of God. Go along for a while. Maybe sometime I've seen people live for the Lord for a number of years. And then mar in his hand, fall by the wayside, and go out. I seen a couple not long ago that used to be saved, and I seen him. I happened to be at this place, and I seen him there. I tell you, I was just disappointed. I was hurt. To see what happens when people mire in the hands of God. When they go away from the Lord. When they turn their back on God. And go their own way. To see somebody who'd been a modest, godly person, clean, upright, to see them all out there decked all out in their jewelry and their big old earrings and wearing pants and all that kind of stuff. It hurts. And I know it hurts the heart of God. I know it just touches me, but I know it hurts God. Oh, what did Jesus say when he looked over the city there? He wept about the thing, didn't he? How often would I gather you together, but you wouldn't hear. You marred in my hands. I had great plans for you fellows. I had great things I wanted to do with you and for you. But now your house is left under your death. That old girdle that you buried there was marred. No good for nothing. Do you know a person that has once known God, turned their back on the Lord, gone out into the world, deep back into deep sin or something? I tell you, they're not worth very much. Not worth very much. Because they can never, never be happy. Nobody that's ever been saved can never be happy. If you've ever tasted God, you'll never be happy in this world. And that's why many times, that's sometimes saints' children and sometimes other folks who have known the Lord, that's why they go so deep in sin many times. They've got to go far away from you. If they leave the church, they leave God, they leave the saints, they've got to go far away somewhere. They can't stay around close because it's too miserable to do that. And that's why I've seen them. I've seen them, people who were living for God, and I've seen what happened to them. Watched them. First thing you'd see a little bit of this. They'd start. I've had them say, "Well, if I ever backslid, I wouldn't go back to smoking. I wouldn't do that. I'd never cut my hair, even if I did backslide. I never would dress like the world. These ungodly things that people wear in the world. I'd never wear that, even if I wasn't living for the Lord." But they do. They do. They go right back. I've seen him taking a little bit on here. First thing is just a little bit of this. They don't just go all plumb away, so to speak, but they start taking on a little of this, taking on a little of that. In a few years or some time, you'd meet him, you would never know it was the same person. You'd never know it was the same person. It marred in his hand. May the Lord bless us tonight. God has a plan for you tonight. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. And you young folks who are here tonight, God has a plan for you. Broken lives, broken hearts, wasted years, wasted money. I see him growing up today. I see him coming by the saints, and they get saved, and they'll get married, and then I see him mar in the hands of God, and then I see him gone. Miserable. Whoa. And then they get down there, and they get old. We talked last night a little bit. And then those memories come back. Going out to meet God with no hope, marred in the hands of God. I'm glad that he added a little more to that scripture there. He said he thought it good to make it again. I'm glad if we have marred in the hands of God, if we have failed in the hands of God, If we have gone back on the Lord, I want to tell you tonight that He wants to make you again. He wants to make you again. I am surprised that I read of the nation of Israel how many times they marred in His hand. And He called them back. He called them back. Come back. Come back. I want to make you again. Don't you see how much He loved those people? If I'd have been Him, I'd have cut them off a long time before He did. But He loved those people. And when they'd mar in His hand, oh, I want to be your king. Give us another king. We want to be like the other nations. We don't want you over us anymore. We want to be like the world. We want to do our thing. That's what they did back there, wasn't it? But it grieved the Lord. God gave them a king. He gave them a king. That's what they wanted. God will let you have your way. But He said, God wanted to be their king. He wanted to be their king. They marred in His hand. Can't you see God? What did He say there in the 5th chapter of Isaiah? He made a garden, took all the stones out, put the very choicest vines in there, done everything He could for that garden, and then He came looking for some fruit on it, and it brought forth wild grapes, sour grapes. And what did the Lord say? What else could I do? What else could I do? But you've turned your back on me. Who do you want me to release unto you? Jesus or Barabbas? What'd they say? Give us Barabbas, they said. How do you reckon Jesus felt about that time? How do you reckon He felt? Here He was, dying for them, paying the price for their souls, making a way for them to go to heaven. Give us Barabbas. That's what people that turn away from God are actually, in a sense, saying. Give me the world. Give me the styles. Give me the fads. Give me the fashions. Give me my own way. Give me my own way. I don't want to live here no more. I'm tired of this old simple way of living for God. I'm going to go out and try a little folly of my own. Wasted years. Wonder how Jesus felt. Wonder how. Somebody asked a question in a Bible study. Wonder how when Peter denied Jesus there and said, I don't know Him. I don't know Him. Don't know that fella. The question was asked, reckon how Jesus felt. Well, different answers. Some said probably disappointed. Some thought maybe he felt, one way or another. But the question was brought, the thought was brought out that he felt pity. He felt pity for him. And I believe that's what God feels tonight for those who's marred in His hand and for those who've gone back on Him. He's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. He grieved. But He feels sorry for you. He has compassion for you tonight. And He wants to make you again. He wants to make you again. Oh, Peter, I've seen a picture or film or something, another word. They was illustrating, of course, it was just a foot on them. It might have been real, but, it could have. The thought could have been real anyway. But when Peter in this picture I saw, When Jesus looked, when the cock crew there after Peter denied Christ, and when that cock crew, Jesus turned and he looked at Peter in this picture I saw, and all the agony that was in this man's face when he seen what he had done. But Jesus looked on him with pity. Yeah. With pity. He didn't feel I'm sure he felt disappointed at Peter, but he felt pity for him. Pity. Compassion, maybe, is a better word. And he said he'd like to make it again. So tonight, we've got to finish this thing up. Us that are saved, don't mar in the hands of God. Don't change your ways. Hold on to the Lord. Don't mar in the hands of God. Let him have his way in our life. It won't be very much longer. We'll get to go home. And you that are here tonight, that is marred in his hands, maybe you failed in a test. Maybe you failed in a trial. Maybe you didn't come through like you know you should have. God would like to. Christo, he'd like to make it again. And you that here that have failed the Lord and turned your back on God, let me entreat you tonight. Come back to the Lord. Come back to him tonight. He loves you, and his great heart is grieved. It grieves the Lord so much when he sees people going on the way of the world, and he wept over them. And his great heart is touched tonight. I marvel. I simply am astonished sometimes at the mercy of God. At the mercy of God. The long patience that he has. I believe it says something like that, long patience with him. Tonight, don't go any longer. If you've marred in his hands, you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one. Many folks have marred in his hand and seen their mistake and come back and been mightily blessed of God. Mightily blessed of God. Mightily used of God. So, if we've marred in his hand, if we've not been everything, and I know we probably all feel we haven't been everything we'd like to be, but if I have failed the Lord, if I have grieved the Lord, then God wants to make it again. He wants to fix it again. He'll fix it for you tonight. If you come to him, humble yourself. Lord, I'm sorry that I marred in your hand. Lord, I don't know why I done it, Lord. Lord, I really didn't intend to go back on you, Lord. But Lord, I just got hurt. I got disappointed. I got slothful. I neglected my prayer life, Lord. Or whatever I did, Lord. Please, Lord, make me again. Make me again. Oh, I don't know. I just feel more like pleading than I do preaching. And I feel like Jesus is pleading with our hearts tonight. Pleading with me. Pleading with you. Come. 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 Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Oh, he stood there and watched that young man come and turn away from him one time. Behold him, he said, he loved him. He loved him. Don't you know his great heart was grieved when he sees somebody turn their back on him, turn away from him? he might have said, I believe it said, I said a while ago, what more could I have done than I've already done? What fault do you find with me? What is it I've done that caused you to mar in my hand? How come you wouldn't let me have my way in your life? What did I do to you? What terrible thing did I do that caused you to turn your back on the one who loves you and the one who died for you? Pleading, pleading. May God bless us tonight. If you're here tonight and you feel like you've marred in the hands of God, He's pleading tonight. He's pleading for you to come home tonight. This isn't me up here pleading to you tonight. This is a burden the Lord laid on my heart. And I pray tonight, if you're here and you failed God, you've marred in His hand. I have. I've never backslidden, but I've grieved the Lord. But I'm so glad that when I came back, He was willing to restore it back again. He was willing to make it new again. Let's stand and have a song.
416
If you're here tonight and you've marred in the hands of God, why don't you come and let Him fix it again? He'll fix it up again tonight for you. Oh, you need Him so bad. We need Him in our life so bad. You need Him in your home. You young people need the Lord to guide you and direct you in this life. You need Him in you young married people. You need God so bad tonight. So bad tonight. Your home is in danger. When you get away from God, this old divorce thing is going on in the world today. Just more divorce than there are marriages anymore. Your home, you're just going on and on. You need God. You need God in your marriage. You need God, you that have children. You need God to help you to raise those children. May God touch our hearts tonight. If you're here now, come and pray tonight. Come back and let Him make you again. He'll be glad to do that for you tonight. So many places we go anymore, we ask for so-and-so. Where's so-and-so? Well, they don't come anymore. They don't come anymore. I'm running into that about everywhere I go. I don't like to give a bad report, but it seems a lot of folks are marring in the hands of God. I know we're living in a pressured time, but God's grace is sufficient tonight. There is yet a God in Israel tonight. So tonight, it's so sad. Where's Brother So-and-so? Well, I don't know. He don't come around anymore. Well, I haven't seen such and such in church. They out of town? No. They don't come anymore. Come anymore. That's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? So sad. So sad. You just think here in this congregation, down over the years, at the people that I mentioned earlier already, this meeting house would have been too small a long time ago. A lot of folks hadn't admired in His hands. Think about if those that have stayed saved, and some of many of their children would have been saved. Saved. You just think about it tonight. Well, there'd have been thousands and thousands more saints than they are now, even if just the saints' children hadn't marred in the hands of God. they'd have been thousands and thousands and thousands more saints today, even if what we call and refer to the saints' children had marred in his hand. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Don't let the devil destroy your life. Don't let him destroy your home. And that's the first thing the devil tries to do. I've seen that over the, especially these last few years, it seemed like. People, that's the very first thing the devil tries to do is to tear up a home. Tearing up homes, that's his business today. And the only assurance, that if you're here tonight, the only assurance you have of staying married and staying together is having God in your life. That's the only assurance. That's the only guarantee. That's the only guarantee that you have tonight. May God have mercy on us tonight. I just feel that the Lord is pleading with us tonight. Pleading, pleading, pleading. Don't go no more. Don't turn away. And you that are turned away, come back. Come back. Come on. Come home. Come home. I've wandered. Let's sing that song. Wandered far away from home. And I'm coming home over in the back.
Four hundred
413. Let's sing this one more song. Bear with us a little bit. Think about it seriously for a little while. God's pleading tonight. We've been pleading all day. The Lord's been pleading. I just felt like the Lord wanted to do something special tonight in this service. I felt that way about all day. And I still believe that he wants to do something special here tonight. God, we're failing again. We're disappointing God. We're disappointing God again tonight. I know in my heart, I know how the devil is opposed. I came in this church house tonight. I could feel the powers of the enemy here. I could feel the powers of the enemy here with just an opposition to what we're doing. I could feel it. And I said, uh-oh, we're really going to have something special tonight. And I believe if God has his way, we'll have something special here tonight. So let's sing this one more song. And if God's speaking to your heart, which I know he is, I know he is, come back to the Lord tonight. Come home. Come home to the Lord. I feel like the Lord, no doubt, is grieved again tonight. It grieves the Lord when we reject his word, when we reject the call. But God's merciful. I pray he'll have mercy. And he wants to make it again. He wants to make it again. How long he'll bear, I don't know. I don't know the depths of God's long-suffering, his mercy. I know he's been awful merciful and long-suffering to me. And I'm glad that he gives us a chance. Even if we do mar in his hands, he gives us an opportunity to come, and he'll make us again. He'll make us again. So may the Lord bless you tonight. We're going to keep praying. Lord, bless and help us all. Any time we see that we've marred in the hands of God, we failed in a test, we failed in a trial, we failed to be the example that God, we felt like God wanted us to be, we should feel bad about that, because the Lord wants to do something with us. He has a plan for our life. He has a plan for you. The Bible says to those that are saved that he places the members in the body as it pleases him. God has a place for everyone. He has a place for you. He placed the father in the place in the home. He placed the mother in her place. He put the woman in her place. He put the man in his place. God has a place for everybody. I want to encourage us tonight, seek out and find that place that God wants us to fill, and let us not mire in his hand. Don't mire in his hand. And God bless us each one tonight.